Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage, and Merry Christmas. January 6th, Trump rally in D.C. Boy, I'd sure love to attend, and I would, but I have a meeting here at the church that runs through the 6th, and I'll have to stay here in Santa Maria. Hope you can go. Voter fraud update. Current status of the effort to get these corrupt states to admit fraud has corrupted their election results. The COVID stimulus scam. The Dems continue using COVID to scam the American people. The China invasion through their domestic proxies in government and in corporate America. Zuckerbucks bought election officials to facilitate voter fraud. Dominion is a tool used by Satan to get his hands on the Dominion, and China is all over this from top to bottom and from side to side. The VP option, also called the Pence card. Can the vice president save us from a stolen election? The Georgia runoff. I'll give you a little different take on that if we get to it. And in honor of Christmas, let's pause to remember George Washington's Christmas at Valley Forge. Merry Christmas, my dear friends. It is time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Okay, real quick voter fraud update, kind of an overview. There are 254 million living in America that are 18 and above, and that's rounding up. Not all of these are citizens, since we don't allow the census to ask that question. There are 153 million registered voters in the United States. Judicial Watch conducted a study and found that 3.5 million of these are ineligible. You know, dead, non-citizens, people who moved out of their state 10 years ago, stuff like that. So that's 149,500,000 eligible registered voters in the United States of America. Trump got 75 million votes, and Biden supposedly got 81 million votes. Huh, really? Does anybody really believe that? We have a problem, Houston. Because 75 plus 81 is 156. You know, and 156 million is, well, more than 149,500,000. In fact, it's 6.5 million more. 6.5 million fake votes. Where did these fake votes come from? And that many. We know that counting was stopped in several states, and all of them stopped at pretty much the same time. Wow, how'd they coordinate that one? And all of them stopped, by the way, with Trump leading significantly in every one of those states, 600,000 in Pennsylvania, hundreds of thousands of votes in these other states. Magically, massive ballot dumps appeared in the dead of night in these certain key cities. And the votes that were counted in the night came out 99% for Biden. Wow, what a miracle. There's a Christmas miracle for you. It is reasonable to assume the excess votes went 99% for Biden, because that's what the science would suggest. And 99% of 6.5 million is 6,435,000. Subtract that from 81 million, you get 74,565,000 to Trump's 75 million. So Trump wins by a few hundred thousand votes, folks. Trump won by a whole lot more than that. But this exercise simply proves it's impossible for Biden to have gotten 81 million votes, which makes sense because it is likewise impossible to believe Biden got more votes than Hillary and more votes than Obama. You know, Biden, the guy who never excited voter enthusiasm in his entire 47 years in politics, who during the COVID scare could not scare up more than about 100 people, like 200 at the most, at any of his rallies. At the same time that Trump was out there regularly attracting crowds in excess of 10,000, 20,000 voters at a time. Sometimes it's just like a day's notice. It's impossible to believe Biden beat an incumbent president who gained 10 million votes in his bid for re-election than he had when he won his first election. You know, like it's impossible to believe Biden lost, what was it, 70 or 75% of the precincts or districts in America, but then won the election. Like it's impossible to believe 1,000 Americans swore affidavits testifying to voter fraud, under penalty of perjury, by the way, you know, to believe they're lying? No. Like it's impossible to believe the 6,000 votes that were flipped from Trump to Biden in Antrim County, Michigan was an operator error 6,000 times? Or a computer glitch? Well, how can you trust a machine that has a glitch like that? By the way, this is not an allegation. This is an established fact. I mean, everybody knows that this is true. It's impossible to believe this only happened one time, har har. You know, like it's impossible to believe the Secretary of State of Michigan tried to block DiPerno's report from being released to the public because she's just an honest politician, has nothing to hide. You see, because there are so many of those in Michigan. a report, by the way, it just so happens that when it was released, because a court required it to be released, proved the Dominion machine software generated a 68% error rate. Well, it's illegal to use machines like that. The error rate that's acceptable is, a friend told me, 1 in 250,000 votes. Well, this is a whole lot more than that. It's more than half the votes. And that means those ballots were sent to adjudication where someone without supervision and without observers corrected the ballots using a machine that allows the adjudicator to, well, actually change the votes. Yeah, we watched this demonstrated. You can even insert a blank ballot into the Dominion machine, and the blank ballot gets flagged for adjudication. And it's sent off-site for adjudication, and the adjudicator can complete the ballot, and then it gets counted 99% for Biden. Like it's impossible to believe because of COVID-19, the Democrat vote counters could not be observed by Republican observers. Like it's impossible to believe the COVID-19 scare that was used as a blind to hide the massive voter fraud from the eyes of Republican observers was not something the Dems turned into a useful crisis by blowing hype smoke 24/7 into all of our eyes because they put their restrictions on us that they don't observe themselves. You see, that's why it's just impossible because they know it's a bunch of hooey like Burke, who wants to restrict travel for you. So you can't go see your family during the holidays. But she did. She traveled to see her family for the holidays. That's because she's special. She's a special person. Like Newsom, he's a special person. You know, and Pelosi, she's a special person. And we all must defer to the special people. And like it's impossible to believe a disease with a 99.7% recovery rate rates all this panic. What are they going to do this to us every flu season? Like it's impossible to believe a disease that has a 94% recovery rate for the most vulnerable among us, the elderly, rates this level of panic or justifies the burdensome overreach by these wicked rulers to encroach upon our personal freedom and our liberties. Like it's impossible to believe this COVID scam is not, in fact, the China virus. And like it's impossible to believe China had nothing to do with it. Or with Dominion, you know, when the CCP put $400 million into the parent company that owns Dominion in October. Hey, you want to have some fun? Watch this. A fact checker. Yeah, lead story. Tells us the real skinny about China investing into Dominion. And they say up front, it's false. But then you read the article and they say, it's not accurate. Huh. Is this another fact check that proves the truth it's trying to debunk? I've seen a lot of that with Snopes and some of the others. They go on to explain that a Swiss investment bank's New York subsidiary, UBS Securities LLC, in October bought $400 million in shares of Dominion's parent company, Staple Street Capital. Well, then it goes on to verify that three of the four members of the board controlling UBS Securities are Chinese nationals and, quote, could represent Chinese investors, end quote. However, because shareholder information is private, it is unknown if China or any other government owns shares. Unbelievable. Further, it confirms that UBS, the parent company of the New York subsidiary, UBS Securities LLC, is in fact a China-based firm. Well, I mean, it did not buy the Staple Street shares. Its subsidiary did. So to be accurate, here's what we have. UBS, which is a subsidiary of a Swiss-owned bank, and this CCP thing has, and the Swiss UBS has a subsidiary with headquarters in New York City. You see the interconnections. This subsidiary headquartered in New York City is run by a four-man board Three of these are Chinese nationals. Anyone who knows anything about how China operates knows these four board members, or these three board members, are members of the CCP, that is the Chinese Communist Party, or they would not be allowed to sit on a board of any subsidiary that is in any way connected, even remotely, to a CCP bank. And that CCP is planting operatives in the United States, all over the world, really. Did you catch that report that came out of Australia? Well, you don't have to go that far. Just go ask Pelosi and her sidekick Swalwell about Chinese infiltration. And the CCP professor who stated CCP, Chinese Communist Party, has penetrated the inner circle of power in the United States at the highest levels. Yeah, at the applause of his Chinese audience. Yay, yay. Well, you get the idea. But if you read this fact check, you have to pay close attention as they shift the shells about, playing their little shell game, blowing smoke in your face to keep you from following the marble. I've attached it here for you to read. But that's the problem when dealing with these sorts of people. The bottom line is this. Every material matter in this fact check is admitted and verified. You only have to have enough courage to do some independent thinking, and it's obvious that a company controlled by a board controlled by three Chinese nationals with ties that even this fact checker admitted, quote, "None of this is to say, though, that there are no strong connections between UBS and China." There are several. There are also strong connections between the U.S. and China subsidiaries, end quote. To which we say, yeah, got that. Oh, and a little on the side here, the three Chinese nationals who controlled the UBS Securities LLC headquartered in New York have been replaced. Yeah, it appears these fellows were taken home. Sort of like Fang Fang. Have you heard that story? All of a sudden, as the heat begins to close it, she disappears back home to China. Suddenly disappeared and returned to China. And for these three, it happened December 11. I guess they completed their task to steal the election for Beijing, Biden, but saw some storms developing around Dominion that began settling around Staple Street and UBS Securities. The China invasion. IBM, 3M, PepsiCo, and other leading United States firms actually house Chinese Communist Party units. You know, the Chinese require, if three Chinese nationals get into a corporation, they are required to form and report to China a Communist Party, organize it within that company. An arrest warrant has been used to pick up a Chinese operative who worked for Zoom and, on orders from Beijing, disrupted a video meeting that was about commemorating the 1989 uprising at Tiananmen Square. And this has become such a huge problem. We are virtually invaded by Chinese spies and government operatives conducting sabotage in U.S. companies on behalf of China and running other operations. So you see, it's just impossible to believe China did not use its influence over Dominion to encourage use of its machines to steal the election from Trump for Beijing Biden. Hey, friend, Dominion is well named. Dominion is a tool used by Satan to get his hands on the Dominion control over the resources of the earth. Zuckerbucks bought election officials to facilitate voter fraud. Boy, I read that and just about, I was just amazed. But I'm not kidding. You know, Dinesh put up a few tens of thousands into an election. Not even that much, I think. He ends up going to jail for, what was that, 6 months or something? But old Zucky, he puts up hundreds of millions into buying election officials and nothing happens because, well, you know, Zucky did it through charities. So that's okay. I've seen this floating around out there for a while now, but lately it's picked up some circulation. It's referred to as the Pence card. And the idea is that Vice President Pence, acting as president of the Senate, moderates the electoral vote count and so has the authority to decide what electoral votes he will include in the count. And so, it is believed, Pence can either refuse the electoral votes from states where the Constitution was violated in the appointment of electors, or he can elect to count those that he accepts as valid. Now, my friend, that just seems to be a bit out there, but let's take a closer look. Can the vice president save us from a stolen election? Now, again, first, when I came across this notion a few weeks back, maybe as long as a month ago, I thought it must be some contrived manipulation of the language from Article 2 in the Constitution. I mean, how would this sound to you? For example, if the Democrats pulled this, they said their VP has the power to declare a state's election invalid and decide to not count their electoral votes. But this thing kept coming back around to my inbox, so I decided maybe I should take a closer look at it. And let's start with what the Constitution says, I mean in pertinent part. In Article 2, Section 1, quote, "The executive power shall be vested in the President of the United States of America. He shall hold his office during the term of 4 years, and, together with the Vice President, chosen for the same term, be elected as follows. Each state shall appoint, in such manner as the legislature thereof may direct, a number of electors, equal to the whole number of senators and representatives to which the state may be entitled in Congress." And it goes on, end quote. Then there follows an insertion set off in brackets elaborating the procedure for counting the electoral ballots. After the state electors have made their ballots and sealed them, they, and that is the electors, are to certify and seal the ballots and then send them to the seat of government, which would in this case would be Washington, D.C., directed to the Vice President, who is President of the Senate. It is noteworthy here that the executive of the various states is nowhere mentioned. That is, governors aren't mentioned here. He's not a constitutional part of this process. So far, we have the legislatures indicating in what manner the electors are to be appointed. And then, once appointed, it is the electors who vote, certify, seal, and then transmit the vote to the President of the Senate, in this case, Mike Pence. Now, governors come in statutes within the states, but not in the Constitution. From here, it describes what happens if neither candidate receives the requisite number of electoral votes, that is, a majority. And it provides for Congress to then vote for president, with each state receiving one vote, and the Senate to vote for vice president, each senator casting one vote. The number of votes is not relevant, but only that the winner receives a simple majority of the votes. Does this constitutional provision actually mean that the vice president can independently decide whether or not to accept the electoral votes of a state? You know, that does give the vice president extraordinary power. And as I've said before, man, we're learning a whole lot more about our government than most of us ever care to know. It would be assumed, of course, that the vice president would have sufficient grounds to support a decision to reject the electoral votes of a state. But before we go there, we need to ascertain whether or no the Constitution does actually provide for this. So what is the argument? Now, first, it does not arise from any express statement to that effect. The framers did not, it appears, expressly address the possibility that one or more of the states would send up fraudulent electors. Therefore, we have to assume the framers envisioned only a case where the electors sent to cast their votes were genuine, were duly appointed. And that provides an argument supporting the idea that the vice president would be the only person with official capacity in that scenario to protest against fraudulent electors. So let's look at this. According to the Constitution, the only electors the VP is authorized to receive are those constitutionally appointed. According to the Constitution, only electors that are appointed in accordance with the manner directed by the legislatures in each state could, in that case, be accepted as the duly appointed electors. Otherwise, anybody can just send up electors. So if there is a question about whether this or that slate of electors are authentic, I think in a case like this especially, it should be decided upon by the Constitution, not by governors or the Secretary of State or any judge in those states. That would be with the exception of the SCOTUS, whose task is to weigh in on constitutional questions of this nature. It's all very intriguing. Those legislative bodies have responded to this error by choosing electors, which is their constitutional prerogative. In each of these cases, the electors sent are in opposition against the electors that were certified and sent by the executive of each of these states. So the executive, that is the governor, is nowhere mentioned in the Constitution as having the power to determine in what manner electors are to be appointed. But in those states, the governor is named as the one who would send the electors to the college. So this is where it gets a little bit fuzzy. But the problem is, those electors that he sent were not duly appointed. They were not chosen according to the manner the legislatures in those states determined. And the Constitution gives that power to the legislature alone, the only body in our system that creates laws. Neither the governor nor any other officer in his administration of the government of any state has the power to make laws. We're fighting that right now in California. Since the Constitution gives to the legislature the power to determine in what manner electors are to be chosen, if the electors were chosen in violation of those laws that were duly enacted by the legislature of those named states, they have no authority. They are without the force of law. They're fraudulent, just like the votes that were used to appoint them. The legislature has the duty to correct for matters of this sort, and they did. They rebuked the governor and the secretary of state and the courts that supported their unlawful behavior by acting in their constitutional capacity to determine in what manner electors are to be appointed. So it follows reasonably and justly that the president of the Senate can, and I think should, reject those electors chosen unlawfully and prefer those electors that were appointed lawfully. So he can, one, request the state send lawfully appointed electors before January 6th, or two, he could proceed to accept those that were sent by the legislature as the lawful electors for those states as the default. In other words, I think he should send to these states a request for lawful electors, and then if they don't send any, use the electors that were sent by the legislative body as the default. In this case, Trump wins, of course. As for the vain report that Pence has been suspiciously silent about the election fraud situation, what? He's got work he's doing. Let me just say, there is a reason I don't follow National File. I just want to put that out there. I've heard Pence say repeatedly, every legal vote must be counted, and encouraging all patriots to stay in the fight for this election and to continue to stand for Trump. To suggest Pence is intending to betray Trump and then run off to Israel is only more insulting than it is absurd. As to what happens in the event Pence pulls this off, well, it will surely end up in court and would probably have to be taken up by the SCOTUS. As for how they will rule on the matter, at this point, it's anyone's guess. Maybe they'll say laches, or maybe they'll come up with standing somehow or another. In any event, it will certainly add to the drama of 2020, won't it? Now, I'm sure Trump and Pence both are in hopes that one of the other strategies will succeed to correct this travesty. Giuliani continues to fight in the courts, has lately, I noticed, begun to take the Powell approach more seriously. Trump too, by the way. Trump is looking into options to seize all Dominion machines, and Giuliani is looking for some damning evidence, expecting some damning evidence to come out of the Georgia probe related to the Dominion debacle. You don't hide evidence and obstruct every effort to get access to those machines unless you're trying to hide something and obstruct justice. These guys, Kemp et al., hope they can keep enough smoke and mirrors operating to hide what they've been up to long enough to get Beijing into the White House. Yeah, to get Xi in control of this country. We know Kip is sweating it out, man, hoping the Republicans come out in sufficient force to elect Perdue and Loeffler so the communists don't totally take over the Senate. And we know he made a deal with Dominion in full knowledge of the vulnerabilities of those machines. Vulnerabilities that served a purpose. Served the purpose of the communists and their cohorts and the face-kissing, backstabbing Judas Republicans who, like little cherub-faced Barr, kiss you on the cheek while stabbing you in the back. Ever notice how many of these devils look like little cherubs? No wonder, Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. And like their father, the covering cherub, they are servants to the mystery of iniquity, Nimrods all, one-worlders, who when they feel pressure, flee towards iniquity and not from it. Lies, cheating, stealing, that's their answer to getting their way. That's the Democrat way, you see. That's the deep state way. There are so many Kemps and Barrs involved in all this. You might as well say it's the deep state way. Did Kemp make a deal with Dominion similar to the one Raffensperger made with the DNC? Help us dump Trump and, we'll let you keep power in Georgia there, old Kimpy boy. And your party, we'll let you keep the Senate. How's that? Is that a deal? Anyway, I've got to close. Listen, it ain't over till it's over. It's true the options are narrowing as we approach January 20th. There are viable cases working their way through the judicial system, and any one of which could turn this thing around so the cheaters will see the handwriting on the wall and then fold, and to protect themselves, start pressuring Biden to concede. Biden might get served an indictment that he deserves and make a deal to avoid jail time. I say no deals. If the cases start falling our way, it's possible the states will instruct VP Pence that the Trump electors are to be counted for their states. You know, there's so many different things that could happen. And then there is the Pence card. And I've explained that. And if that doesn't work, well, we have several in the House who have declared they will contest the vote on January 6th. And some senators have indicated a willingness to join them. Maybe by then, the cannons will be smoking strong enough. All these jackals can see they have been exposed and it's coming down on them. And so they run for cover by going into mock outrage over such travesty. I can't believe that my party would do this kind of thing. And then call on Biden to concede. Anyway, the Insurrection Act is still hanging out there. It continues to be a viable option, I believe. I can't find anything in the COVID relief bill that changes the law regarding that. But as usual, you know, I'm out of time. I can't go into that option right now. Hey, God is on the side of right, and he reigns upon his throne, sovereign over all. He knows how the people voted. He has graciously answered our prayer to expose all this evil. My, hasn't he? So I think that should encourage us to believe he'll hear our cry for help in this situation. So to conclude, remember George Washington's Christmas at Valley Forge. It looked bleak then too. All my sources for this little bit here are footnoted in my show note. I'm not going to stop and go quote and quote and do all that stuff. I'm just going to read through what I put together here. Things could hardly have looked bleaker for Washington and the Continental Army as 1777 came to a close. The British had successfully occupied Philadelphia. In view of his army's desperate condition, he defied Congress's demand that he launch a midwinter attack against the British at Philadelphia. Instead, he fell back to Valley Forge to rest and refit his troops. That Christmas Eve, the troops dined on a meal of rice and vinegar and were forced to bind their bleeding, frostbitten feet with rags. The general described men marching without clothes, blankets, or shoes, leaving bloody trails in the snow, who displayed, as he said it, patience and obedience, which in my opinion can scarce be paralleled. On top of all this, Washington faced the displeasure of traitors and turncoats and cowards in Congress and rumors of plots to replace him. He faced it all down with his typical stoicism and composure. The winter at Valley Forge might have signaled the end of the American Revolution. Fortunately for the Continentals, Washington did not give up. Fortunately for all of us, Washington knew where to turn for sustaining strength. A Quaker by the name of Potts lived in Valley Forge when George Washington quartered his troops there, and he relates to us this story. Quote, I never believed that America could proceed against Great Britain, whose fleets and armies covered the land and the ocean. But something very extraordinary converted me to the good faith. Now, he was speaking to a friend. He continues, quote, do you see that woods and that plain? There laid the army of Washington. It was a most distressing time of your war, and all were for giving up the ship but that one good man. In that woods, he pointed to the place, I heard a plaintive sound as of a man in prayer. I tied my horse to a sapling and went quietly into the woods, and to my astonishment, I saw the great George Washington on his knees alone, with his sword on one side and his cocked hat on the other. He was at prayer to the God of the armies, beseeching to interpose with his divine aid, as it was ye crisis, and the cause of the country of humanity and of the world. Such a prayer I never heard from the lips of a man. I left him alone praying. I went home and told my wife. We never thought a man could be a soldier and a Christian, but if there is one in the world, it is Washington. We thought it was the cause of God and America could prevail. And I take heart, my dear friends, in this. It might look pretty bleak out there to many of you, but be encouraged. Kneel before the mighty God, pray, and follow Washington's example, as our president seems to be doing quite well. I'm sure you've noticed. I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on. 805-314-2114. Or go to brainmassage.net. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
Go to GodsWar2020.com.